I am excited to have my good friends, Stan and Connie Setliff, with us this morning. My pastor and his wife, again, good friends. And you're going to be blessed. For those of you who have never heard him speak before, you're in for a treat. He's a man of God. They love the Lord with all their hearts. And as Donna said, they're the founding pastors of this fellowship. And it's with my pleasure that I bring and introduce you to Stan Setliff.
Okay, we'll try this one more time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God is good, right?
Yes, amen. All the time.
All the time.
Would you stand with me for a moment? Praise the Lord. Let's take a moment, and in our hearts, if you're not standing, at least get your heart standing. God's in the house.
Yes.
Yes, amen.
That'll make you stand.
Amen.
Father, we love you with all of our hearts. Our goal here this morning is to hear from you.
Yes.
Not so that we can be titillated or excited, but so that we can be corrected, which is a direction we take from this moment. We covenant with you that if you will speak with us, if you'll speak to us, if you'll visit with us today, we will go the path that you lay out. We won't stand here and act like we can't hear. Your word says, Father, that he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That's a decision on our part, and I want you to cause in our heart by the Spirit to desire not your just your presence, but your voice this morning.
Yes.
We need you.
Yes.
We're lost without you.
Yes.
We know that you're new every moment and every morning. So you have something new for us today out of what most of us consider old. We hunger and thirst for that.
Yes.
Now we speak by faith. We receive by faith. And we will be changed by faith.
Amen.
And this prayer, and now in agreement in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Stand with me just for a little bit longer. You need to look at me and say your feet are beautiful.
Your feet are beautiful.
Did everybody say that?
Amen.
Your feet are beautiful. You know what scripture I'm basing that on?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's a commitment to you that I'm bringing word this morning. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's turn to the scripture. We need to hurry, but we need to get the job done. Hebrews 11:1. If you don't need to turn there, well, then you can. Yeah, you do. You need to turn there, even if you know it. Hebrews 11:1. Let me preface this by saying that the minute we made tickets to come here, I don't know how long ago that was, a month, I really don't know. But God laid this two things on my heart, and I'm going to give those to you this morning. All right? Here's the base scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I know that surprises you that I might speak of faith this morning, but I'm not going to do that. I want you to read this again with me. The first part. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, can you, if you want to break this sentence down, can you tell me which comes first, hope or faith?
Hope.
It's not a trick question. If you'll analyze the sentence, it's very clear. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, this is what God has shown me, and I want to share with you this morning, is that without hope, we're not going to have any faith.
Right.
And, of course, without faith, we're not going to have any hope.
Amen.
So they're nearly hand in hand, but I think when I get through showing you some other scriptures, you're going to understand that if you don't have hope, it's impossible for you to maintain faith.
Yes, that's right.
All right, if you'll be seated. I'm going to start off this in the weirdest way, but I'm going to start it off in the way that not only God has shown me, but early this morning refined it again. Change the order just a little bit. He does that when you think everything's the way it's supposed to be. He changes it. Before I get strongly in the message, I'm going to probably do something that will irritate and annoy. That's nothing unusual, is it? But I want to give you some hope. That's what this is about today. I want to place hope in you. What's the definition of a fool? What? Okay. Let me give you I didn't realize you'd forget my definition. It's the person that does the same thing every day and expects a change. That's the definition of a fool. And if you'll take that to heart, if I'll take it to heart, if everybody in the world would understand that if your life is just doing the same thing every day, you are becoming foolish. Because God says he and his word and his actions are new every morning. Therefore, it should cause a thought direction change, maybe some action direction change, hope change. You understand what I'm saying? If he's going to be new every morning, you can't be the same every morning. I just placed hope in your heart. You know that? I spoke hope to you because nobody wants to be the same every day. You want a little something? I don't know. There's some things I want the same. I want the same wife every morning. I don't want a different wife.
Yeah.
Okay? There are some things I want to stay the same. But I want her to be different every morning. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to preface this today with a tremendous praise because you are my friends, because you've stood through us from good times and bad times. You understand that's the way it is, too. It's not just a one side. We don't stand here with you. You have stood with us. We, my wife and I, want to present something to you that may not, let me explain it to you as I do this. I want to give a tithe check this morning for 1 month for $4,000 to the church. This is not all of it, but this is what I feel like God has given us. The reason I am publicly stating this is because it's very tied to this message. My wife and I, 4 or 5 years ago, because so many things were being stolen from us, God gave us a scripture about things that are stolen from us. If we can pinpoint, if we can point to that person, that thing that is stealing from us, we can demand of that entity how much return?
Sevenfold.
Okay. Do you understand the power in that scripture?
Yes. Yes.
But it takes something more than just reading the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It has to create in you a hope that that's possible.
Amen.
And then on top of that hope that it's possible, you have to build faith that it will happen.
Yes.
Hope says it's possible. Faith says it's done.
Amen.
And as soon as your faith kicks in that it's done, you will not wrestle with that problem anymore. I don't mean you won't fight the good fight of faith, but it will not be a hard thing for you to stand and say, whoa, I know what the word says. I'm basing my hope, I'm basing my faith on the promises of God, not what I want.
Yes.
Okay. I shared this a little bit with Patrick this morning, so he'll help me with the message. His response was unusual, especially from Patrick. He said, I have not got a vision for that kind of money yet. What's that got to do with the word? Who said God has to have your permission to give you money?
Amen.
Why do you think he has to explain it to you before he does it? My wife and I, by the way, let me explain where this money came from. It came from the hope and the faith that we believed. We set a figure based on what was stolen from us, and this is a small portion of that figure. In the last 30 days, $43,000 has come into Connie and I's pocket, and it's from unearned income. Can everybody tell me what unearned income is? I didn't do a thing to get it, but Jesus did.
Yes.
Don't ever say it wasn't earned. Just say, I didn't earn it. When that money was reported, the oil company called us and said, we have this check. And by the way, this is the last oil well that was drilled. We already had some in, but it wasn't that much income coming in. We responded with a tax mind. Hold it. We have to decide who we want you to make the check to, because we don't want to lose this all to income tax. Does that make sense? If you're going to prepare to receive income, you better prepare on how to handle it. So my wife called and she said, we are trying to make up our minds where we're going to put this. The lady's response was, well, while you're thinking about that, you better think about the next 50 we're going to drill.
Wow.
As we are stating to this woman with big shoulders back, we got to wonder what to do with this rather than, give me. I thought that would impress her. That's not why we said it, but it should have impressed her. She says, what about the next 50? And blew us off of our seats. Far beyond, do you remember the message? Far beyond anything you've ever thought or asked. So my message to Patrick was, don't limit God with your thinking. Because if you can think about it, it's not far beyond anything that he can do. You're limiting what you can think. What am I telling you? I don't know what I'm telling you. What are you going to do with the money? Well, I've asked God and I haven't heard yet. It's his money, right? We're going to find out what that is. The first thing we have to do is tithe. I want to give God praise and I want to give God glory, but I want to give you hope in the fact that it wasn't Connie's talent and it wasn't mine. It wasn't her ability and it wasn't mine. God has literally tracked us down and run us down to give us this money. And this is for, I don't know what it's for. I know that it's going to be ongoing, but I don't know what that means. I don't know what oil companies do. I know they don't pay once a year. I know they pay a lot more than that, but we're going to find out. I want to remind you of Ecclesiastes 2:26, to the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom and knowledge and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not a wealth preacher, and you guys know that, but I want you to understand something. Patrick nearly, he talked to me like he didn't have the right to demand the sevenfold return from the theft. Now, he didn't say that. That's the feeling I got. And so I responded to him, well, let me say it to you in a way that I believe God would say it to you. Okay? That money wasn't stolen from you. It was stolen from me. Now, get off your you-know-what and get out and get it for me. Okay? Do you think God wants to keep Satan and his kingdom in business? So what I'm telling you is, I'm not, please, rich is not a value. Because we were rich before we got the checks. I'm very rich. You're rich. You're rich. If you've got more than you need, you're rich. So this isn't about how much dollars. This is about what God is demanding from us as his children to harm the kingdom of darkness. He wants it back into the kingdom of life. You are struggling to do something right now that God wants to provide for. If you don't think he doesn't want this music produced, then stop it. Don't get it produced. But if you think he does, then ask him how he's going to pay for it.
Amen.
Don't be smart, Alec. You're still the kid. He's still the father. But he's a realistic father, and you're supposed to be a realistic child. He sent his son. You sang it here a while ago. To prove to you how much he loved you and how much he wants to care for you. Stop fighting him on this. You are supposed to rest in him. And you are supposed to cast all your cares upon him. And I appreciate the fact, and God values the fact, that you guys are working to get his work done. But let me remind you, he don't need you to work. He needs you to work the faith. The strongest work you'll ever do is trust him to do what he promises. Now, I'm going to start you there. Please, if you think that I was bragging by giving that check, don't. We're friends. We're family. You know when I've been hurting. You need to know when I'm not hurting.
Amen.
You'll never have any hope except in hurt.
Yes, that's right.
And God is not a respecter of persons, and he doesn't love me more than he loves everybody in here.
Amen.
And he's not going to run out of funds.
That's right. Amen.
He owns it all already. He just wants it shifted back into his kingdom.
Yes.
That's where I want to start you now. I want to dip a little bit, and then I'm going to bring you back up. If you're going to draw a line. I'll ask you this morning something that God told me to ask you, so don't get mad at me. Is there a law against stealing? And if there's a law in place put by those that are governing, and that would be for us, for our good, right? If there's a law like this that thou shalt not steal, based on God's word, thou shalt not steal, what would I expect if I become a thief? Maybe getting by with it for a little while and then punishment. Maybe I feel rich for the moment, but then I'm knowing in the bottom of my heart that this is going to come back to bite me, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is, once it bites me, I can never overcome the bite.
Right.
That's the way the world system is. That's the way God's system is.
That's right.
But that's the way the world system is. I'll have that on my record, and if you apply it with a job for me or whatever, I'm going to see that on your record. And I'm not going to think as highly of you, and I'm not going to trust you as much. Is that all kind of all the outflow of being a thief?
Absolutely.
Okay. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. If anybody has any questions, I'm going to read it to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Do you remember what I told you that this message is about this morning? Hope. If I want to make top dollar in this world, do I start out with as a felony thief? I'll never make top dollar in this world if I start off as a felony thief, will I? All right. It's amazing how the community mimics the word. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? His response, in tithes and offerings. Do I need to read that again? Was there an option there that said, unless you're in a bind? And you told me that you lose hope if you break the law? Didn't you tell me that? That in this world, that you can't have as high a hope if you break the law? Well, now I'm telling you, the Word of God tells you the same thing. Don't expect to walk into much prosperity if you are breaking one of His major commandments. Thou shalt not steal. And then he says in Malachi, you have robbed me, not giving tithes and offerings. Let me see if there's a... I'm looking to see if there's an if, ands, or buts there. Oh, my goodness, let's read verse 9. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation, or even my whole kingdom. Who in here wants to walk with a curse? You don't want to feel any conviction, do you? Well, let me tell you, when God says you're cursed, that's a whole lot worse than a felony conviction.
Yes, sir.
Verse 10, bring all of your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now. What is the command here? Bring the tithes in? Yes. What's the second command? Try me now. Let me say it in old country terms. I double dog dare you to bring your tithes in. See if I won't open for you. Anybody in here? You?
Yeah.
Okay, just check it. I will open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be not room enough for you to receive it. The lady said, I'm sending you this check. We said, what are we going to do with that? Do you understand what I'm saying? We're already rich. We walk in health. I've got a great wife. She's got a great husband. If it's not true, say it anyway. So God can make it so.
Amen.
God's been putting things back together in our children's families like you won't understand until next month when you see it. Things are well. How about with you?
Amen.
Is there any places in your life that could be better? Maybe some things that as we read this scripture, you feel like there might be a curse. Did I tell you the formula on how to break the curse? Bring in the tithe. And I dare you, try me, the God says, and see if I won't bring to you and dump on you and place on you and in you blessings that there won't be room for you to store. Anybody need anything today? Try him. Try him. Here's another great one, verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. This isn't just about, you give me a dollar and I'll give you 100. God's not saying that. What he's saying is, if you'll try me, I'll give you blessings. I'll determine what the blessings are. You just receive them. And I will then rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so it stops eating your blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I said I'd go down, and I went down. Now I feel you coming back up. That's good. Verse 12, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord, not Stan. You think God has a desire for you? Do you think there's a catch? Yes. Thou shalt not steal. Something that you and I live with every day and never transfer that thought process over to the Word of God. Where's the hope here, Stan? Did I not show you some hope here?
Yes.
One, a blessing you can't contain. Two, I'll rebuke the devourer.
Amen.
And he's not just talking about money. This, when God speaks, he's talking about every aspect of your life. Blessing in every aspect of your life to rebuke the devourer. Now, I want to put that in your mind as hope. How do you fulfill the hope? You must begin with the tithe and offerings, by the way, it says. Here's what God says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Consider your ways. That's what I was trying to get you to do right now. Is there any area in your life where it says, where it feels like there isn't enough? The very first statement in verse 5 says, consider your ways. Verse 6, here's every one of you. I won't even think about it. Every one of you in here fits this. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled. You clothe, but you're not warm. And he who earns wages. Now, let me tell you why this is so important and bold in my notes here. It's because we think we live from wages. And therefore, that's where most of us, the devourer, attacks. Because we put way too much weight on our life, depending on our wage. So, he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. So, what we see here is that God says, give me what's mine, and I'll bless you so much that you'll have to give more, and you'll have to give more, and I'll show you what kind of God I am. And if you don't, I'm going to show you what kind of God your wages are. You get them in your hand and you try to hold on and they run away. Oh my, I cashed a check and I thought I had enough to meet everything. What happened to that money? Well, you were depending upon it instead of God.
Yeah.
And God will have no other gods before him.
Right.
And if you don't think he can't whip your God, so if your God is anything but God, he's going to whip whatever it is you got as God.
Right.
If you promise to love him and serve him. Amen? Come on, now we're beginning to get excited here. Because I can begin to see, for those that are having problems with finances and tithe, how the way to get out of a hole is to fill it with God's money. We plug the hole by giving God his part.
Yeah.
Well, but you don't understand. I've tried that before. Ooh, now we found the word. There is no hope in trying. There's no faith in trying. There's only failure in trying. There's hope and faith in doing. I've given you a simple scripture. I've given you the way out. And I'm fixing to move on. Has everybody got this part? I asked God to fill you this morning, but before I ever got here, with determination. I'm going to do what God says for me to do. Bill raised the Bible and you said you'd do that. I just gave you Bible, so now you're going to do it, right? You're going to stop this argument that with us in about tithing. Okay, now I need to say it. You need to say it. I can see that right now. You need to say it. I'm going to stop this argument that's within about tithing. It's settled. That means it's done, right? You're going to try God. Let me tell you something. It's the first time that I can ever remember where God, it's not the first time, I remember some others. But in this particular case, God says, try me. I am going to sit back and laugh at you when God dumps finances and health and wisdom and knowledge and understanding and joy and peace on you because you finally relinquish that thing that you value so much called money. I'm going to laugh at you. What took you so long? What? Man, all of a sudden you got out of this hole that you've been in for years. You know what your tendency is? If I can make one more pay raise, if I can install one more tub than I'm doing now per month, if I can just make a few more dollars, if I can just get this contract, if I can just get this promotion. Man, I'm telling you, I showed you a shortcut. You can just go all around that and you can look at your boss. You can look at your contract job. You can look at everything that's been influencing you and you can walk around with a grin knowing that your paycheck no longer comes from that thing that you've valued. It comes from God. When I decided, you know what, and I'm going to show you a little later, don't put your tithe in today and expect the blessings to hit you tomorrow. Have you been a little slow in committing? Now let's leave it there. Let me go on. I'm going to start on the hope end of this thing now. I'm going to prove to you what God showed me, okay? That hope has to come before faith. And hope, faith has to be based on hope. They're like husband and wife. We just don't do things well apart. I'm still standing, she's still Connie, but we just do a whole lot better when we're one can put 1,000 and two can put 10,000. Hope, the foundation of faith, Patrick. Hope, the foundation of faith. If we rob God, we have no hope. That's two. If I rob God, I have no hope. If we have no hope, we have no faith. I've read you the scripture. I'll remind you again. Now, faith is the substance. Faith is substance based on what you've been hoping for. It brings about the evidence of things not yet seen. But you know they're there because it's substance. Your faith is based on substance. In Romans 8, 24 through 26, this is what it says. Anybody need to turn there? I really do. If you don't trust what I'm trying to get to, you need to read this with me. Romans 8, 24 through 26. For we were saved in this hope. For we were saved in this hope. Can I just tell you something right quick? If you're not saved, you don't have the hope. Okay. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Come on, do I need to say it again? If you can see it, it's not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? I just got a check. I'm hoping for more, but I'm not hoping for that check. I saw it. I don't have to hope for that anymore. There it is. That's the substance of the faith that I had. Okay? I had faith. You can't touch that. I can touch this check. That's the substance of the faith. So I have to stay in faith until I can touch it. Does that make sense? Until my faith is established, I'm in hope, which will never make it come to pass. Listen, I'm going to prove all this to you shortly. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So if you're still waiting for what you've not yet seen, the only way to ever see it is to persevere. That means be harder headed than the problem. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Wow! We're not in this alone. When our hope seems to fade, he'll send some cluck along like me to encourage your hope, to strengthen your hope. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I never looked at this before. The reason you believe in when you run into the end of your language or your prayer ability, that the Holy Spirit now gives you utterances that weren't from you. Why? Well, we just haven't increased your hope enough yet, so we'll just do whatever it takes. Do you understand? This is the Holy Spirit, God talking to you. I will send the Holy Spirit to give you words and to give you understanding that will increase your hope. God's serious about this. If we don't have strong hope and great excitement for things that we do not yet see, what is there to believe for? Do I believe for things that aren't exciting? Do I waste my time and my faith believing for things that have no value? So what God is telling us is this hope and this faith is for things exciting.
Yes, man. Thank you, Lord.
I want you to be healed. I want you to be saved. I want you to be delivered. I want the devourer rebuked. I want his eyesight returned. I want your legs to work. I want things to work better than they are now. This is exciting. I don't know if you know that or not. God wants you to be excited. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15, 4. For whatever things were written before... Oh, you need to look at this if you're not there yet. Romans 15, 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
Amen.
Why is the word written? That we might have hope. And in that word, it tells us we got to have faith. This came so clear to me the other day through the Spirit. Do you know the only thing you have to offer the world? Hope. Do you know why a sinner listens to a Christian? Only one reason. Hope. You're offering them something that is better than what they've got. Now, I understand the Holy Spirit does the drawing and can explain things through you that you're not capable of. I understand all that. But let's get down to the nitty-gritty. You have nothing to offer if it's not better than they already have. That means there's a hope offered that's not yet there in them. They have to see eternity. They have to see a God that loves them. They have to see these things. And that creates a hope that will move them from where they are to what's better.
Yeah.
One of the definitions of being born again is the second birth is much better than the first. That's hope. All Scripture, all words, all preaching, all teaching is to give hope. It is to create a vision bigger than ours. Now, if you'll analyze the Scripture in total, you're going to find out that the Scripture is given to you to give you a vision that's bigger than yours. And, of course, more accurate than ours. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith. Mine says, of our hope, without wavering. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
Now, let's just get real for a second. Sometimes our hope wavers a little bit, right?
Right.
Now, let me say this. Hope is a term that, especially in the charismatic community and the faith movement, has nearly been eliminated because we take it as something that's not spiritual. It's kind of like a hope, a hope, a hope, a hope, a hope, a hope. It's like Dad would say, whistling in the graveyard. It's something that I'm trying to hang on to that's not real, but it makes me feel safer. But before this day is over, I want you to understand that God gives hope.
Yes.
He places in you hope so that your faith will be established on that hope. But first, I have to have a hope. One of the things that happens to Christians is they kind of get settled and they lose that ambitious hope that God wants us to have, especially if we get comfortable. See, the next thing that I know that we're going to be tempted with is say that we're, let's just take a figure of I want to believe God for $1,000 a day. Okay? As soon as I hit 500, I get comfortable. But the Scripture is telling you right here that the hope that was placed within you comes from God. What right do you have to stop your belief system half into the faith walk? If God wants $1,000 a day out of you, then you produce. And you don't stop believing until it's there. If God wants you healed, then you produce, and you don't stop until you get there. If God wants you to preach, you don't teach. That's not where you stop. You move on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If God wants you to read an hour a day, you don't stop at 30 minutes. We're too busy shortchanging God because we're too busy.
That's right.
Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. God promises. We begin to see. Do you know that's what Scripture does? Is opens your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Opens your eyes and
right.
Your understanding.
Right.
We begin to see. Because we saw it, we begin to confess. When we confess, faith is established. And when faith is established, we begin to have the ability to see.
Yes.
And soon after that, we touch. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now, let me tell you again, the reason I started this on tithes is it looks to me like, according to the Word, the best way to lose your hope is to not tithe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go for the main cancer. We'll deal with the little stuff later. But if something's been eating you alive, let's start where it starts. Don't rob God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now let's start understanding of the basis of this scripture. What is your greatest hope? What? You know what? All right, that's a place to start. The hope that's being talked about here is Jesus. No God, no Jesus, no Jesus, no God. Let's go a little further. We're all a little bit greedy. Everybody understand we're all a little bit greedy. Little tad bit of selfish. It's called self-preservation. Why do I hope so strong in Jesus? No. Don't talk about a mature. Give me an immature answer. Don't give me a mature answer. Just being born again. Why were you drawn to Jesus Christ early on? In what form? You didn't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. So you had a hope that you never had before. You knew something was wrong, and you knew the future wasn't sure, and it may not be good. And all of a sudden, somebody presents to you eternity in heaven, and the only way to get there is through Jesus Christ. So what are you really shooting for, Jesus Christ or heaven? But you had a hope. You had a hope now that you never had before. And as you read the Scripture, all of that Scripture points you back to Jesus, so your focus begins, as maturity comes, your focus goes back, leaves heaven, and goes back to Jesus, where it should have been in the first place, but we were too immature to understand. See, God's not down on any of this. We're just opening it up, it's being revealed to us, so we'll understand. Sometimes it helps us to understand what happened to us. I don't know if it ever helps us to understand what's going to happen, but it always helps us to understand what happened. Now, whose house? Christ as a son over his own house, whose house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing. Okay, I hate to tell you this, but this scripture says if we don't have confidence and rejoicing, we're not of his house. So now we see that we're required to have hope. And out of that hope comes confidence and rejoicing.
Amen.
Y'all can either say no or you can say yes, but say something. We have to hold firm to the end. We go back to the hang in there stuff, being harder headed than the enemy, right? All right, let's keep moving. We must begin with a faith. With faith. By the way, let's go back. The Bible says that every man was given a measure of faith. This is so cool. God revealed this. You know why you needed a measure of faith? So that one day God could place in you a measure of hope. Because if you didn't have a measure of faith to believe there was a God out there, there's no way anybody could invest in you hope. That's why an atheist is lost without hope. We say it all the time, lost without hope. We lose that terminology when we become saved because now we're saved with hope. So we find another name of Jesus, hope. You hearing me? What you have is hope eternally. And what they have is no hope eternally. So you have something to offer. The reason you open the Bible is because you have that measure of faith. Why would you read a fiction? Why would anybody desire to read fiction? There's no hope in fiction. You might get some excitement. You might get a little interest, but it's going to go away as soon as you close the fiction book.
Yeah.
We read the Bible because we have faith that is the Word of God. Where did it come from? Every man has been given that measure of faith. So it's that first step that we have to take from faith to hope. From then on, it's hope to faith. How come we have an easy time accepting salvation, which is the greatest miracle of all, and we reject other miracles? Why do you sit here this morning with that thought process? Yeah, I know you read that verse in Malachi, but I'm not too sure it works. Well, then maybe you better not be sure in heaven and your salvation. Because you are not allowed to have total confidence in God in your salvation and not in the rest of the Scripture.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 20. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the
immutability
of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Let's just stop on number one right now. It's impossible for God to lie. So if he gave you Christ Jesus for your eternal salvation, you believe that. But if he tells you if you don't tithe, you'll be cursed with a curse, you're not going to believe that. It doesn't work, does it? It's a shame goofs like me have to come out and say something so simple so we'll understand. You are not allowed to pick and choose the Word of God. You take it all, or you don't get any. If you don't get any, you're still cursed with a curse. That's the bad part. I can give you hope. I can give you hope. I tell you, believe every word of God, and I promise you, you'll be free and you'll be blessed. But if you decide to just pick and choose, you'll be cursed. Is that just too simple? I think that just, I nearly missed that one. It was so simple. This is good. What I'm saying is good, and it's encouraging me. If you all just sit there, that's okay, but I'm getting stronger. It is impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. What hope set before us? Let me tell you, every promise of God. In this case, the promise of what? Now, we don't have to dissect the whole Bible. We don't have to go back in history and see what the promise was. What he's talking about is everything that he's ever said. I never lied. God would say, I never lied. And I'm fulfilling and have fulfilled every bit of it. And that we lay hold to, and that gives us hope. That's what it said right there, right? To lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now, what does that mean? This is not talking about your spirit man. This is talking about if you want your flesh body to keep going, it better have some hope. Abraham, is where all this is coming from, referring to, had every evidence that he wasn't going to get his promise. And when he finally quoted that last time, it will happen, his body conformed. Her body conformed. Amen? You want your body to function? You better have some hope. Your hope better not be in the insurance. It better not be in I'm gonna get old. How many of you have hope you're going to get old? Who in the world needs hope that you're going to get old? It's going to happen whether you have hope or not. What you need is hope that doesn't overtake you. You overtake it.
Yeah.
As an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. My goodness, in the charismatic community, we've heard entering in through the veil, behind the veil. You've heard all the terminology. I just read to you right here, in case you missed it, that you ain't getting in without hope.
Amen.
You're not walking into the veil, you're not facing the veil, and you're not walking through the veil without hope. Do you know why the veil was opened for you and I to be able to walk through? Because Jesus had hope. When they nailed him to the cross and it did not feel good, he had hope. His hope was full of faith. It was established by faith. He walked through the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection for you and I. And we better have hope that it took.
Yeah.
And if we don't have hope that it did the job, we're never going behind or through the veil. It was torn for nothing. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That should increase your hope. I wrote down here, hope takes us in behind the veil by the Spirit. No hope, no Spirit, no Spirit, no intimacy. This is what this is all about. God didn't want a bunch of little robots that just believed and made things happen. He wanted a relationship where he could put his arm around you and me and say, that's my son, that's my daughter.
Amen.
They're doing what I said, and look how it's helping them. Yeah. 1 Peter 3. We got to keep moving. I'm on page 3 of 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. You know why I'm going to read you so many scriptures today? Because this is new ground. This is new ground. To place hope as a foundation for faith is new ground. And I want to prove to you the scripture builds that. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you. Did you ever look at that scripture that way before, Harry? Now I'm going to ask you something. How in the world does anybody know that you got hope that's within you? Nobody goes around looking within you. How do they know you have hope? Well, for one thing, you don't go around speaking a worry of flu season, poverty, sickness, cancer, death. You don't dwell on those things because that doesn't build your hope. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have hope, out of the abundance, the mouth speaks. You live it, you walk it, you act it. Therefore, people see it.
Amen.
And you better be ready to not only understand but defend that stuff they're seeing in you. Why? Because they want the hope you've got. Jesus said, I'll draw all men to me. Well, what we're saying is Jesus, his name is hope. They're going to see that. And they're going to draw. They're going to be drawn. And they're going to walk up to you one day and said, I don't understand. And you're going to explain it. It said, it told you, you obey every word, right? You're going to be ready to explain the hope you have. You're going to be ready to explain to people why somebody comes up and says, oh, You better go have your so-and-so checked because. Wait a minute, it's working. I don't take my car in to have something checked that's not working. It's working.
Yeah.
If it's working, it's working. I have hope that my car is going to take me a whole lot further than I want to go with it. You understand what I just said? I don't want to drive the same old car the rest of my life. I don't want to go as far as it's ready to go. I have a hope that God's going to provide for me enough that I can change when I get tired of it. By the way, I will confess to you as another form of testimony, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what?
The word of your testimony.
So you must brag a little bit on God?
Yes.
You're required to. I don't know how many years ago, we openly confessed to you that we were going to reduce our overhead by $6,000 a month. You remember that?
Yes.
I used that very figure. I can stand here today and tell you that we don't have any payments except utilities.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? How? How? How did that happen? Because I had hope it could be done. And my faith was based on the hope, the vision that I saw about reducing that overhead. And God took it further than I committed. Do you understand? I had an overhead greater than $6,000 a month. You can't reduce $6,000 a month overhead unless you have an overhead greater than $6,000 a month. And God is taking it further than that. Kind of like that tithe promise. Try me. Try me. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. And the truth of the matter is, if we had accountants in here, you'd understand what I'm saying. Accountants only kind of figure above the line and below the line. Does that make sense? Red to black. Well, the $6,000 turned to black. So I took it from what I consider a negative thing and put much more than that as a positive. Should go the other way, shouldn't I? You understand what I'm saying? Let me say it another way. The $6,000 was taken away and replaced by a positive more than that. God was not satisfied with me just being without debt. He wanted me to be greater than the debt. Isn't that what salvation is all about, Harry? Isn't that what you were saved for? To be greater than the debt? There was a debt that was owed that you could not pay.
That's right.
And Jesus said, I'll handle it. Just do what I ask you to do. Why did it stop with salvation? Why can't it continue in health? Why can't it continue in excitement and intelligence and knowledge and understanding and that dirty thing called money? If it's dirty, let's don't do it. Let's don't handle it anymore. But if it's something God gave us, let's handle a lot of it.
Amen.
Let's don't be bashful. Do you understand God knows your heart? And if you'd be ashamed of what He gives you, He won't give it to you?
Yes, right.
I think we're ashamed sometimes, are possibly ashamed when we think that God might give us more than we're worth. You think I'm worth the money that God just gave me? No! Yeah. I must be. God gave it to me. See how the light and the hope changes? You got to get that soul under control and start answering right. You know what you're worth? Why don't we go back to the basics? Do you know what you're worth? The life of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what God said. I'm not telling you that. God showed you that.
Amen.
How much is that worth, Bill? How much is the life of Christ worth? And then how come we start judging blessing? We end it there and say, well, it's worth $12 an hour, $15 an hour. I'm really blessed. I make $15 an hour. Do you know who's paying you that $15 an hour? More than likely a non-Christian. He's not afraid to have the money. Why are you?
That's right.
If others do not see and question your hope or positive attitude, then why are they not seeing it? If you don't have a positive outlook on life, then why is that? Who's stolen your hope? Maybe the devourer? How could he get in? Maybe you're not giving tithes and offerings? Maybe you're not obeying, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Pick any of them, and they'll all sick the devourer on you. A man that I can't believe, there's a lot of Christians that lie. And they can't understand why the devourer moves in. Well, it's just a little white lie. I wonder how that fits in the blood of Jesus. A little white lie doesn't have to be covered by the blood. It's just a little white lie. It doesn't require repentance. God, His Word, is the reason, the motivator of our hope, and the water that makes our measure of faith grow. Ezekiel, since you think I'm just stuck in the New Testament, I want you to understand that before the foundations of the earth, God wished upon you blessings.
Amen.
Well, you know what the greatest blessing to this world can be? You have a positive attitude because you're positive about God, and He's got an attitude. His attitude is to bless you. His attitude is to conquer.
Yeah.
His attitude is to save that is lost, that's been stolen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 10. Whew, I'm going to read 10 verses. Reckon y'all can handle that? Let's try it. If you're going to take notes, I want you to tie this. Each verse, I'm going to have just a little short something to say. It'd be real quick to put it down beside your, don't write in your Bible, that's holy, I know, but it's okay. You can write this time, you can do that. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Anybody ever been a valley full of dead bones? Well, I got a feeling we pull up finances, we pull up future look, we pull up these things, I can find some areas that are dead bones in our lives. Dead bones is an area where there is no hope, right? I mean, when you're looking at a valley of dead bones, there's a lot of no hope. Here's the way I'm going to show you this morning. I want you to listen very carefully and understand with this in mind. I'm going to show you the steps of God to bring you from out of dry bones into hope, into faith, and into seeing it. And I'm going to show you that God does never take you from point A to point B just like that. He walks you through steps. And I'm going to do it through this scripture right here. A are the explanation of verse 1. God has a plan. Oh, the plan is to show me dry bones? I've seen that enough. Yeah, maybe sometimes. God needs to bring you to a point where you see nothing but desolation before he can show you that he has an answer. Let me show you a point of desolation. I bring in $500 a week and my expenses are $510. And there ain't nothing I can do about it. That's a valley of dry bones.
Yes.
And God needs you to understand he's got a better plan than that. He can show you that, but it's not to bring you down. It's to show you the next step. Verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. So now we don't just see the desolation. God reveals to you the problem. What is the problem? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's beyond hope because the bones have not just been fresh dry bones, they're stale dry bones. This has been a problem in your life for a long time. God shows you upon them, starts beginning to reveal the problem in depth. Verse 3, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, Oh Lord God, you know. I've been in this situation for all these years and I've been dragging my feet and you know that's the case. Don't ask me those silly questions. There's no hope. Oh, Lord, you know. That's what the man of God said. Are you people of God? You don't let those words come out of your mouth sometime and those thoughts dwell in your mind? All right, from verse 3, the Spirit causes me to question and study. Let me tell you something. You will never overcome a solution or a situation until you begin to question what's going on. Is there a way out of this? That's a good question. Who put the question in Ezekiel's mind here? God did. And he acknowledged that by saying, Oh God, you know. See, it's amazing. God has to be a real good psychiatrist to deal with us. He has to lead us into a problem, show the problem, and then begin to cause questions where we'll answer. Is he a strategist or what? Yeah. Verse 4. And he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Whoa, I'm given a solution. Any problems in your life that have been around a long time? There are solutions being revealed to you this morning. You need to understand that. You're going to walk out of here a whole lot better than you were. Yes. I promise you that. Yes. You agreed to that.
Thank you, Lord.
I tricked you into agreeing to that in the prayer. I'm given the formula. The formula is to speak. Quit letting those bones speak to you. You begin to speak to them. Quit letting those financial problems tell you how it is. You tell them how it is. Quit letting those pains and those aches tell you. You tell them. Verse 5, Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Now he begins to reveal to them what to speak. I will cause. Here's my response to that. He reminds us that the work is not on our shoulders. He didn't say, You're going to go out there and pump breath into those bones. He said, I will.
Yeah.
But you're going to speak, and I'll follow your speak. And I'm not moving until you speak. Now, let me just say it my own way. You guys need to stop talking about it and you need to do it. I brought the tithe up to you. Quit thinking about it. Quit questioning about it. Just do it. Fall in the arms of God and he says, Try me. See if I won't catch you. I will put, verse 6, sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath into you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Well, not the bones. Just not going to be the bones that know he's the Lord. Ezekiel's going to know too. Let me go back just a second. Let me just say something to you then. Those financial problems, those physical problems, those mental problems, those things that have just nipped at your heels all your life, they're going to know there's a God. And then you're going to know there's a God. Isn't it cool to think that God is going to go after your enemies? Amen. Well, it ain't cool until you know that debt, dishonor, distrust, downtrodden, sick is an enemy to God. It needs to be your enemy, and you need to fight it with everything that's within you. The proof, the burden is on Him, not us. When we believe this, we will obey in faith, and it will cause boldness in you. You know how I can speak in boldness? I got history. I have good English. I have spoken to dry bones. I have spoken to terrible burns and broken backs. And I'm talking about me. I have spoken to terrible diseases in my children. I have spoken to things over you and in you. I've seen them come to pass. You're not going to tell me this is nonsense because it's real.
Yes.
It's real. I am an overcomer because of what God has done. I'm looking forward to some more things He's going to do. But I can look back as the lion and the bear and say, woohoo! This is no giant. I whipped worse looking things than that with worse breath. Man, now, Ezekiel is excited in verse 7. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Oh, there's a key. Do what I'm told to do. Isn't that amazing? And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I overcame fear... That wasn't in there. I put that in there. Because I'm promising you, every one of you, if you saw what Ezekiel saw, the first thing that hit you is fear. So what we can realize is that possibly as God does His work, it may cause a little fear in you. You may have to overcome and reestablish your belief. I'm doing exactly what God told me to do, exactly at the right time. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You don't know how much that's carried us through in the last couple of years. And I recommend you get that down in your heart. You, every time something comes against you, you say, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'll not have that stolen. And God's going to do a good work because of that. Ezekiel had to say that right about this time. Our hope that has turned to faith and therefore resolve. Our hope that has turned to faith and now our resolve causes God to perform. We begin to see. Sometimes it takes time to complete. No, all the time it takes time to complete. Let's just be real. Verse 8, indeed as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Oh my goodness, God, let's get this over with. Come on, we're smart when we realize we're an impatient people. We don't even like it when God does it right. We want Him to do it wrong and faster. We're not to lose hope through impatience. I will not lose hope through impatience. Why did you say that? I will not lose hope through impatience.
I will not lose hope through impatience.
God will perform.
God will perform.
In His way.
In His way.
And His time.
In His time.
And listen, it will be right.
Yes. Amen.
It will not be wrong, and you will not be harmed in His timing. You will never be harmed in His timing, in His way. You never will. I don't care how God works out the problem, the situation commands you to do it, and you obey, you will always turn out the winner. One person will be done one way, another person will be done another, but both are winners.
Amen.
There is no formula to this. God is the formula.
Yes.
Yes. Verse 9. Then He said to me, prophesy. Oh my goodness, I've already done this once. So we're going to do it again because God says so.
Amen.
Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Do you better understand something? Everything you believe for needs to cause life. Everything you believe for, it needs to cause life because whatever God's up to is to cause life.
That's right.
All right? There will be a continuing work. There will be continuing hope and a continuing faith to have a full completion. Do you know that we will never see the full completion with these physical eyes?
Yeah.
The full completion is when we stand in the presence of God,
yes.
No longer in this body. And your Bible says you don't even know when that happens. You'll never see death. That's what it says.
That's right.
You'll pass from your faith stand right into the faith presence. And one day you'll wake up and say, I'm not believing for anything anymore. God said, no, that's because you believed in me. I'm here. I'm here. You made it. You stood. You prophesied. You did what I asked you to do. You did what I told you to do. You stood strong. Now I forever and ever will do it for you. You're back in the garden. Rest. Don't look for any more fig leaves. Don't look for any more fig leaves. Verse 10, so I prophesied. I did what I was told to do as he commanded me. And breath came into them. Lo and behold, the word works. And they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. What is this all about? This is not about you. This is not about me. This is about the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. Where if God pays you, where if he heals you, if he gives you hope, if he gives you peace, if he gives you a great wife, if he gives you a great husband, if he gives you great children, grandchildren, whatever good you think ever happens in your life, it is for the kingdom.
Yes.
You better understand the first big check you get, the first big healing you get, the first people you see saved, it is about the kingdom. It isn't about you. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah, because therefore, the burden and the work is not on you.
Amen.
Continued obedience and faith gives continual blessing and creates more hope and more faith and further conquest. You think Ezekiel quit right after this happened?
Mm-hmm.
No. He said, now I know I can do all things. Let's get going, God. Mark 11, 21 through 24. Y'all know this scripture, right? Let's look at it again. Mark 11, chapter 21. Now, we've gone this before. I'm going to say it quickly again. Jesus is walking through an area, a land that did not belong to him. He was hungry. He looked at a fig tree. The fig tree was out of season. That's what the scripture says. It wasn't even supposed to have fruit. Jesus got aggravated that fig tree did not provide for him what he needed. And he said, fig tree, you're cursed. Y'all are all copacetic with that. Understand what I said? Why did I say that? So you'll understand that the timing of God has nothing to do with the season of man. It doesn't have to be in season that you get a blessing. Jesus wanted that fig tree to bless him. Even if it was out of season, it wasn't his fig tree. And when it didn't do that, he cursed it. We need to be careful with those things that we know. We don't want to walk in a curse. Verse 21, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. It didn't just happen to fig trees. We just read it happens to people too. We need to be a careful people because we have a careful God. Verse 22, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Can I tell you that you need the hope that this earth was put here to provide for you? And your job was not to do anything but to tend the garden, and the main garden he was talking about is me. I'm going to say it one more time. God placed this earth here to provide for you, his children, not for the enemy. And Jesus expected that fig tree that was placed there to provide for him to provide, even if it's out of season. Get a hold of that. Maybe your blessings will be freed up if you'll quit looking for the season of blessing. The season of blessing is 24/7, 365 and a quarter days a year. We've included the leap year there. So Jesus answered and said to them, you need to have more faith. For assuredly I say to you, let's go back to our old formula. Whoever says to this mountain, not whoever prays to it, our praise about it. They have gotten their hope. They have established their faith and they've gotten up off their knees and they're beginning to speak to their situation. Maybe it came through prayer. Don't give up prayer. I'm just saying there's a time when you get stopped praying and you begin to speak. This is Jesus' formula, by the way. It ought to work. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, this mountain of death, this mountain of illness, this mountain of no hope, and does not doubt, in other words, he always stays in hope, in his heart, but believes those things he says will come to pass. You've got to start believing what you say is going to happen. And then we will start being careful with what we say. He will have whatever he says. I can say, oh, it's flu season, I'll probably get the flu. Or I can say, oh my word, I walk in health.
Yes.
Body, you will conform to the word of God and you will conform to this word. I command you in Jesus' name to walk in health. And I will not doubt in my heart that that works. If you see me running for a flu shot, I've doubted in my heart. I've tried to take insurance in anticipation that maybe my word doesn't work. I'm not trying to lay guilt on. I will not do that. I'm here to put hope. But I'm telling you, as your faith and your hope matures, you're going to get stronger in what God says and less in what man says.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
24, therefore I say to you, to the men that ask him the question, you and I have asked him questions, here's the answer. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. As soon as you say, you have them. Your tongue is a little thing, but it guides big ships.
Yes.
It does big things. God gives promises in his word and by his spirit, number one. Number two, sight or revelation begins to form. Number three, glimpses of the impossible turn to hope. Number four, hope fosters faith as we study and as we listen. Number five, hope and faith causes obedience. What does that mean? That means as soon as you believe it, you're going to conform to it. Verse number six, we begin to speak and act as one who knows, because it is a sure thing, even if I do not yet see it. Have you ever seen me act like one that does not know? Some people interpret that as ego. I interpret it as a surety from God. That one gal said, you act like that everything you do is right. No, you think everything you do is right. Well, of course. Would I think it was wrong and do it? Is that what you're insinuating? Is that what you do? That's what I said. Is that what you do? You know it's wrong and you do it anyway? If you don't think it's right, you don't do it.
Amen.
That's just that simple. And if you think it's right, you base your entire existence on it. And you never be moved.
Yes. Amen.
But on number seven, the perfection, God always performs His Word. Let me say it to you one more time. Number one, all the promises are given to you by the Word and by the Spirit. I'm trying to tell you, you don't build your own hope. Number two, you begin to see and things are revealed. Those begin to take some kind of form in your life. Number three, that causes glimpses of the impossible, but because of the Word, it turns to hope. You guys, quit spending your time on believing for things that anybody can do. Anybody can make a living. Anybody to go to the doctor. You need to start believing for things that you can't do. Otherwise, you don't need God. Get Him out of the way. 10% is too much. Let me say that again so you'll understand. If God will not perform His Word, don't give Him tithe. But if you believe He performs His Word, you give Him your tithe. You give Him your offering, and He says, I will. Do you believe He'll bless? He might bless you right out of that job that's kept you in poverty.
Praise God.
The glimpse of the impossible turned to hope. Hope fosters faith as we study and listen. You don't want to hope for things that are not based in the Word.
Amen.
But what I can find out is that there's nothing on this green earth that's not impossible for God.
Amen.
So it kind of opens up your hope. Number five, hope and faith causes obedience. Hope and faith doesn't set you free. It causes obedience, which sets you free.
Amen.
Hope that was an important thing you got. We began to speak and act as one who knows, even if I can't see it. And number seven, the finality, the perfection. God always performs His Word. This is God's plan of action. Let's consider our ways. God never fails. God never lies.
Amen.
Failure can only come through no hope. No hope comes from disobedience and giving up, which is disobedience. Do you understand? Giving up is disobedience. Let me say it again. If you don't get anything else, you can write these down. God never fails. God never lies. No. I said that wrong. God cannot lie. Failure can only come through no hope. Let me say it to you. Let me just point this sword and whack you with it. If there's some areas in your life that are not improving, it's your fault.
Yes, that's right.
It's not somebody else's fault on the outside. And quit blaming your past. Has nothing to do with it because we're now working in the future.
That's right.
It's not God's fault. It's your fault. No hope is from giving up, which is disobedience. If there's no hope, you've given up in that area. Do you understand there can be areas of no hope? And that's what God will speak to right now. Don't. If you're high hopes here and you're no hopes here, let's work on this one. Don't give up this one. Richard, you're still believing for that healing? I'm glad you stood up and volunteered.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to give up hope, right?
No.
When are you going to see? That's right. In God's time, right?
That's
right. Those dry bones laid there a long time. In fact, they laid there so long they didn't have a voice anymore, and God sent a voice to speak over them. And this morning, God has sent a voice to speak to you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You know how exciting it is to know that God speaks through you?
Amen.
No, you don't. You don't. Nothing is more important in my life than having God speak through me. And it didn't get there overnight. I had dry bones, and I've worked at it for years. Dry bones in my finances, and God's overcoming. Dry bones in my children, and God's overcoming. Dry bones in so many things, my thought processes. That's where it really started out. To draw me out of, see, we can talk about Catholicism, we can talk about anything we want to, but wherever you are, that it's not obeying God, it's not exalting God, it's not giving you hope, we need to get out of there. I was in the Nazarene Church, I was in the Assembly of God, I was in all of those, and I raised by a Nazarene and a Mennonite. Now, if that's not law, you don't know it. It was good law while I was young and immature. It was great law, but God wanted to move me from law into life. Do you want to be ruled in your finances and your health and your hope by law or life?
Life.
Because life will take you far beyond anything the law can do. And it'll take you far beyond anything you can believe for. That's the exciting part of this message. What God wants you to do. Do you know that Ezekiel never planned to speak to dry bones? Nowhere in the scripture can you find out that he woke up one morning and said, I think I'm going to start looking for some dry bones. He was trucking along one day, just minding his own business, and God led him right up to the edge of this thing and said, and stuck his nose right in dry bones. So don't be offended if you find God this morning finding a dry bone area of your life and putting your nose right in it. Why is he doing that? So you can speak to it and bring it life. And the result will be a magnificent army for God. In my life? Yes. In your life? Say yes in my life.
Amen. Yes in my
life. Do you think that my wife and I haven't walked through some dry bones recently? You don't know. And I'm not going to tell you because I came here to give you hope. And we still need some more hope. Right? So I'm asking God for me and you. I asked you, him before I came, I asked you this morning while you were listening. I want you to have so much hope that this earth cannot contain you. Didn't he say, just speaking of tithe, just this one little thing in our life, that I'll give you blessings you can't handle? You can't handle. That's not what it said. That you can't store. You can't pin in. Down at the elevator where I'm at right now, there's a guy that owes us a couple $100,000. And we've been fretting about that a little bit. Well, we got a partner. I got a partner. The partner has over $100 million in the bank. But come to find out, he's on the board of the bank where the guy that owes me money is their lender. So we pick him up, we take him to the bank. And we point to the guy and say, this is the guy that owes us $200,000. What you going to do about it, bank? The board member's asking you, bank, what you going to do about it? Next day, we start getting checks. Isn't that amazing? You got a partner?
Yeah.
Do you have a partner? My scripture in Malachi says that you have a partner. And the partner said, you've been robbing me of tithes and offerings. One is money, one is doesn't have to be money. He wants your life more than your money. The first offering he wants out of all of us is our total commitment in life. And no matter what, I'm yours. I don't care. You can slay me, the Bible said, and I'm still yours. I'll tell you how far this goes. I don't care if you ever complete your word in my life. I'm yours. And the minute we say that and we mean it, the Bible opens up and says, that's impossible because that'd make God a liar. Now I've got revelation. If I just obey him, he's going to bless me. When? When he gets good and ready. And it's good, and I'm ready. I want to give you hope. But what he wants from you is your life. Your unrestricted, unguarded life. There's no area in your life that has dry bones. And if it is, I give it to you anyway, God. What do you want me to do? Bob, you need to say it. Every Bob in and every Bill, that covers 3/4 of you. You need to say. Tell me, God. I'm not satisfied with this area of my life. How do I speak to it? Because the minute I speak to it, I'll begin to stand for it. And don't be surprised if it don't work the first day. Because as we read with even Ezekiel, put in a special position, it took several instructional times for him to complete the work. Is this a good word?
Amen. Absolutely.
It's a good word for me. It's an establishing word for me. I'm going to be looking for him to go in blessing financially beyond what I've ever asked him. In health, far beyond anything I've ever stood for. I'm going to expect this church who's been filled with dry bones. Where? Here. There. 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 That's going to change because I have built your faith today and you've got hope to build more faith. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
I did not start this work for it to go down in flames. You hear me? Let me back that up. That was a wrong statement. Anybody want to correct it for me? God did not start this work for it to go down in flames. Everything I've ever started went down in flames. So I surely don't want to tie that on this. Thank God everything I ever started went down in flames. Thank God. You know the Bible says you're to give God thanks in all things?
Yes.
That means you thank Him for the stuff that went down in flames, because that was something that was going to hurt you or hurt the kingdom. Either way, thank you, God. Do I need to say anything else? Because I'm 10 minutes past time. You didn't know I was watching the clock, did you? Art, there's been a work started in you that, goodness. You don't understand, but everybody in here is excited about it.
Amen.
You know why? Because you're who you are. Do we always like who you are? Doesn't make any difference. God does.
Amen.
That's what He said to me. There's an awful lot of people that would line up out this door to tell you how bad a character I am. And God never listened to one of them.
That's right.
Paul said, but God, I can't speak. Paul said, didn't ask you. I told you. Paul said, do you know how many of those people I've killed? Yeah, just enough that you got to go back now and pay your dues. You'll minister to them. Paul learned to hate. He started off hating that and learned to love it. So the work is not always completed in 5 minutes. Oh, what's his name and what's his name? Doesn't make any difference who they are. They were in prison. Bound. Deepest part. Right. They didn't say, oh God, deliver me. They were giving Him praise.
That's right.
How do I know they didn't say, oh God, deliver me? Because when the deliverance came, they said, no, we're not leaving. The work's not done yet. We're staying here a little while longer.
That's right.
Amen? Is this not all Scripture?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it is.
I value you people very much. I value your prayers and I value your faith in me, because that is, even though you don't see it, it's elevating me into further areas of the kingdom of God. You need to have faith in that. Your hope needs to be established and you stand for that. I've asked Patrick to look into which I know is very much available. Let's find out how to do it. But I want to be able to set up the conferencing where I can teach and you can minister and I can have feedback. You understand what I'm saying? So we can start with a Bible study. We can do whatever we need to do where you can help me and I can help you. Y'all didn't say amen. You're the only one who said amen. All right, that's what we want to do anyway.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do. And then as time goes on, you'll be able to reciprocate. There'll be ministry from here that goes down there to help. Y'all don't remember this, but the young man that came in here, one of the last services, he walked up here and prophesied over me. One of the things he said is, you've got two more churches to start. Do you remember that? I do, because I thought he was crazy. In fact, I voted no. God didn't ask. I think we will do that. I don't have a vision for that, but what's my vision? It has to be assisted all the time anyway, so let God assist it. Amen? Don't let your hope be destroyed. How many would you like to reach? One can reach 100. I mean, 1,000. Two can reach 10,000. Don't settle for 5. When the first promise is 1,000. But go ahead and set your sights higher than that. There's more of you than one here. There's several. So just multiply it. Somebody do the math sometimes. See how many zeros you come up with. I don't know that it has a name, but that's your hope. Thank you for putting up with us. Gene, I appreciate so much. Your house, believe it or not, we prayed in your house this morning that you would be blessed because of that. And you can expect that. How many of you, in all honesty, had kind of given up some hope? I didn't say all hope. Given up some hope before you came in here. Now, how many of those people and everybody else commit that I'll not get in that way again?
Yeah.
I'm not getting in that place again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Because then my faith can be stolen. And as soon as my faith can be stolen, I can start as an unbeliever, and then I become a reprobate mind, and then I'm damned. That's what happens when you lose your faith. Y'all are not going to do that. You know how I know that? Because God sent me to motivate you. You've now been touched by a motivational speaker sent by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All hearts clear? I don't want to forget my procedure here. All hearts clear? For those of you who don't know, that means if they're not, speak up. Because if you're ashamed of God, He'll be ashamed of you.
Right.
Do we need to pray with you in any way? Praise God. And I will say this to you. May the Lord bless you, protect you, and keep you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. Please, you allow Him to be gracious to you. Show you His favor and give you His peace. Remember Jason, he's in Afghanistan right now. We're going to get on a plane shortly and God's going to fly our plane. It's absolutely amazing to me how people such as Connie and I can be so blessed with you and still be blessed south also. How we can look forward to seeing you, miss you already before we leave, and look forward to going home. I don't understand all that. But I got peace about it. My soul will be kept under, and my hope will be strong. We know that God's got something planned because He's already giving provisions for it. Don't take the provisions to yourself. He's not going to give you things so that you'll be selfish. When the king looked at Nehemiah and said, "Nehemiah, what can I do for you?" The king said, "I don't know yet. Let me go ask God." Always keep that in your heart. When an opportunity comes, ask God.
Yes.
Amen. Father, I thank you for this time with my family and your people. I thank you that you revealed yourself to them as you promised. I thank you, Lord, that lives have been changed today in Jesus' name. And it's all for the glory of God and for the glory of His kingdom, for the power and the authority of His kingdom. Let the wealth of the wicked that has been stored up all this time, let the righteous say, "God, we want to get it back for you." Whether that's influence, whether that's power, whether that's health, whether that's in professional services, in jobs, it doesn't make any difference what. Let that be returned to your kingdom in Jesus' name. And give these people hope that continues on forever. Have them remember us as we remember them. Love us all right into that eternal place where we'll all be together.
Yes.
And for this we'll give you praise and honor and glory forever and ever. And we do it in faith and in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
amen.
Hallelujah. Don't be dismissed.